You're listening to 560 WQAM. Chris Whittingham here until 8:30 this evening, leading up into Florida Panthers coverage, which I'll be hosting. Doug Plagans will have the call of the Florida Panthers this evening. But the big news today in the world of South Florida sports, actually, there's lots of coaching news going on right now with the Dolphins as well. But Dan Enos will be the next offensive coordinator of the University of Miami. He comes over from Alabama, and where he was the quarterback's coach, and will now take up the offensive coordinator position, former head coach of Central Michigan, and has been around many college football stops. But joining us right now to discuss it is Michael Casagrande, covers Alabama for AL.com. Let's go in and get started with Dan Enos. So when you first see this news, what was your reaction?
It was maybe a little surprising that he was on the move, considering he was in line, and we'd already reported that he was going to be the next Alabama offensive coordinator after his one season as quarterback's coach. So, to move to Miami, a program that hadn't been as successful in recent years, with considering the offensive firepower they had coming back at Alabama this season, it was going to be a little bit interesting. It was a little surprising to see him on the move. So, it's a big get for Miami, though. He's made a big impression here in his first year, his one season here, and a talented coach who's been at many levels.
Talk to us about that impression and how exactly people around the program have received Dan Enos.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened with the quarterback play, obviously, Tua Tagovailoa. We'll just go with Tua. I could never do that.
You cover Tua, Alabama, and you can't say Tua's name?
I started to say it, to remember how to pronounce it and to remember how to spell it. It's two different ways, and it messes with my trick to remember how to spell it, so I don't even bother with the last name. So Tua, the quarterback, Heisman runner-up, had a great season, obviously, I think, but even more impressive, important, and possibly important for Miami was what he did with Jalen Hurts, the former starter, now backup. You saw a much more comfortable, better passer, just better in the offense overall than when he was a starter, when he came in and released performances, especially in the SEC championship game against Georgia. And all the speculation would be about Jalen Hurts, who will be transferring, and Miami would definitely come to the picture much more so with Dan Enos going there. But what he was able to do with Jalen Hurts is probably the biggest thing from last season.
So Jalen Hurts is a quarterback that, won all but two of his games and then was replaced in the national championship game. I feel like a lot of people would assume this is already a good quarterback. What did you see, and what did people around the program see that was represented development for Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, well, I mean, he came in as a true freshman and started pretty much right away. Came in three possessions into his first game against USC. Is a good quarterback. He's more of a mobile threat. It was his passing game that he was able to improve this past season. As sophomore year kind of moved on, there seemed to be some struggles in the passing game. Not throwing receivers open, not looking to second, third options, taking off from the pocket. Became sort of an issue, and he ultimately was replaced in that championship game against Georgia by Tua, and it was what he was able to do this past season. Much more accurate passer, threw passes that he probably wouldn't have thrown in the past, threw receivers open, like I said, put the ball into tighter windows where he had been, needing to see a receiver wide open in the past to throw the ball. So a much improved quarterback, already on a, it's hard to knock too much when you're 26-2 as a starter, but there were definitely some deficiencies that were showing through that led to him, losing that starting job here.
We're joined by Michael Casagrande, covers Alabama for AL.com, and is breaking down the Dan Enos hire of the University of Miami. So you mentioned that your paper had reported that Dan Enos is going to be the next offensive coordinator at Alabama. Would you say that him taking this job, and I saw he was also linked with the Georgia offensive coordinator job, would you say that maybe that wasn't necessarily as full-throated of support as that might indicate?
Well, I mean, I think maybe the decision to take these jobs is more on him than what Alabama's decision was. It's not easy to coach under Nick Saban. I think people in South Florida might understand that. and just maybe a change of scenery to, a different program. As a young, up-and-coming coach like Manny Diaz, it could be an attractive position to leave for. So I don't doubt the reporting from, and this goes back to December, when Mike Locksley originally left to go to Maryland as the head coach, the offensive coordinator from from last season. So, you know, a lot can change in a month. Obviously, it has.
And in terms of the Jalen Hurts relationship, you mentioned that work, but obviously now there's a recruiting job on. Do you think that based off that work that there was relationships that were built there and that Hurts would, you would say, you would make it a likelihood that he would come to Miami now?
Well, definitely, you could tell there was a relationship built there, and it was a thing where they hadn't had a dedicated quarterback coach at Alabama when he was here the first two seasons. He had two different offensive coordinators in his first 2 years here, where Lane Kiffin and Brian Daboll were the two coordinators freshman sophomore season, and this year they have Danny Enos come in as the quarterbacks coach on top of the offensive coordinator Mike Loxley. So yeah, they definitely, you could tell they formed a bond. From what we understand, they formed a pretty good bond, worked well together. Obviously, you could see the product on the field was improved. So you got to, you know, there's some of that has to be attributed to the coaching for sure.
I know that Nick Saban keeps the media at arm's length, particularly with his assistants, but did you ever get a chance to speak to him, and what? How does he come off from a personality point of view?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him until just a week ago, Saturday, at the media day for the championship game in San Jose. And an impressive guy, obviously knows what he's doing, was a quarterback in college, played at Michigan State. You know, just well put together, impressive, answered questions well, intelligent answers, and everyone that talked to him came away impressed with talking to him, since we are at least an arm, two arms away from talking to assistants most of the time around here. So, up and comer. He's a former head coach, so he's been through it all. He's, you know, a fun offensive coordinator at Arkansas, so he's experienced, and he's been, you know, a number of different places, different conferences.
Yeah, can you tell the audience a bit more about that? Because obviously the Alabama link, the Jalen Hurts link, is what excites everyone. But this is a coach that has a lot more experience than just 1 year as quarterbacks coach at Alabama.
Say that again?
So beyond just this experience at Alabama, can you sort of tell the audience where he's been and just sort of describe the full breadth of his experience?
Right, yeah. He was the head coach at Central Michigan for, I think, three seasons. After that, he left to go to Arkansas as offensive coordinator. Had some success there, but program started to slip a little bit. Left after the Bielema era. Was going to be offensive coordinator at Michigan, or at least an assistant coach at Michigan. Was hired there for a few weeks before he came, and Alabama hired him last January. So, you know, again, I got to start, you know, he was a quarterback. He played at Michigan State. So, you know, he's played the position. He knows the offenses. Obviously, Alabama had its best offense in probably program history this past season, and he had probably a big part to do with that.
Now, Alabama, I would say, and you've been covering them for a while. Mike Casagrande of AL.com is with us. You've been covering them for a while, and it seems like the last couple of years, obviously Tua is part of that, but even when Hurts came in and played in the SEC championship game, it's been a far more aggressive offensive style. Is that something that Nick Saban has wanted, or just a product of who the offensive coordinators have been and what that quarterback in Tua and, to a lesser extent, Jalen Hurts have done?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of starts with him. He kind of had the directive that he wanted to evolve more in the offensive scheming. When he brought in Lane Kiffin in 2014, the idea was to try to keep up with the Joneses, keep up with the fast-paced offenses, not necessarily Big 12-style track meet all the time, but to add pace, to add rhythm. And a lot of it is dictated on the quarterbacks. I mean, you can't plug anybody in there and run hurry-up style offenses, and you know, they would incorporate that at times this year with Tua, and did with Jalen as well. So it was mostly personnel based, and just keeping up with the times. It was obvious that they were behind at a point, maybe 5-6 years ago, where some of the offenses in the SEC were starting to run them, get past them, and they obviously wanted to upgrade things. And you know, the coaches had something to do with it, but it was mostly the directive of Saban, because no one's going to come in and reinvent a style of offense under him without his full consent.
Where does Alabama go from here?
Yeah, I just worked on a list of possible candidates. They already have Butch Jones, who's on staff as an analyst. You have different guys like Derek Dooley, who worked with Saban in the past. Chip Long at Notre Dame. He's a Birmingham native, played at North Alabama. You know, there are names out there that make sense. Maybe Larry Fedora, a fired coach. Nick Saban's obviously gone the fired coach route a few times. Coaching rehab in Tuscaloosa has been kind of a theme. So, you know, we'll see. Just the beginning of this process. So, you know, only time will tell.
Michael Casagrande of AL.com on Twitter, @ByCasagrande. Appreciate the time, sir.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Michael Casagrande, for joining us there of AL.com. Again, check him out on Twitter, @ByCasagrande. And I think, again, the most important bit, and it's been discussed a ton when it comes to the hiring of Dan Enos as offensive coordinator, is the relationship with Jalen Hurts. And it would just be so remarkable if the Hurricanes can go in the space of 1 year to having total doubt at the quarterback position, have no idea where they're going forward, to now you have your quarterback situation figured out, your offensive coordinator situation figured out, reports today as well of a hire of an offensive line coach, which for me might be just as important, if not more important, than the quarterback situation, because the offensive line situation was no better, particularly in run blocking. So I think you're seeing Manny Diaz start to build out a staff that's impressive, that's filled with impressive guys. And I think you look through the way that he went about this process, and it was thorough, and it was obviously targeting at the very highest level. This is a guy that Michael just told you was nailed on to be the Alabama offensive coordinator, to be the guy that takes over and probably coaches Tua's last year, that developed well at the quarterback position. And if you're placing a priority on the thing that the Hurricanes needed to solve most, it's quarterback and offensive line, 1-2. Manny Diaz got defense covered. But for me, the fact we hear all the time about national searches, right? Frankly, that the outcome of the Hurricanes' national search for head coach produced the guy that was down the hall. For the most part, this is a relationship thing, and Blake James wanted to hire, obviously, a coach that he believes in a lot, but a coach that he knew. I'm not sure of the relationship between Manny Diaz and Dan Enos, but he clearly targeted him as the best offensive coordinator available and the guy that can most help him accomplish the goals that this program has. So for me, that is the thing that I'm most impressed with as we look now at this hire, is that I don't think he's leaning on some guy that he knew at Texas or early on at Miami, that this is a personal relationship. No, I think when you look at, for example, how Dabo Swinney built out his program at Clemson, it was trying to find the best assistant at every position and not having any predeterminations about who he was going to be, or who that position was going to be filled with based off of who he knew from his past. And so I'm really encouraged that Manny Diaz embarked on a national search for this job and went and found this guy that now obviously comes in with an impressive resume as a former head coach, as an offensive coordinator of an Arkansas team that was holding up its end while Brett Bielema's defense was not doing anything. But also the fact that you have now an offensive coordinator bringing a quarterback with him that is going to change the program, on top of already having this guy in place that you feel like can develop Nkosi Perry or Jaren Williams. No, for a year. And I would say that places a premium on this upcoming season, because all of a sudden you could potentially have a quarterback solution. And if you're saying that the offense is going to be fixed and the defense you're bringing back is really good, then I would say Miami's got a decent chance to embark on a 10 or 11 win season next year and get that program turned around just that quickly. I'm not at all concerned that Enos can then parlay this job into another job. I think if you're building an ecosystem or an environment where your assistants get promoted and get jobs elsewhere, then that's great, because that means that you're sort of building an aspirational program. And I just think this is an A++ hire, and just a real signal of intent of Manny Diaz, that he's not just going to hire friends, he's not just going to hire people he knows, he's going to embark on searches to handle the side of the ball that he's not necessarily going to be involved with day to day. He's still going to be a great defensive coordinator and have that defense working, but also understands that he's going to have to hire people to run the offense that are going to be of the highest level. And I think that's absolutely what this hire is. Huge credit to him, huge credit to the University of Miami, because I can't imagine that this was very cheap. So love the hire, and really appreciate Michael Casagrande joining us there to discuss it from AL.com. Chris Whittingham here until 8:30 this evening. We have the Florida Panthers and the Calgary Flames tonight live at 9 p.m. Panthers preview starts at 8:30 with myself and Doug Plagans. We'll be right back here on 560 WQAM.